Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
Welcome everybody to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is episode number 57. I'm here with my good friend and faithful servant in the faith, Sasso Mendez.
Hello, hello.
Kind of sound like Mike Buffer there, man.
I know. In this quarter.
Let's get ready to rumble.
And what is this? Fighting, right? That's what he says in the other side. In the UFC. His brother, right?
Yes, Mike Buffer and Bruce Buffer. Or wait, Mike and...
I don't know, bro.
Can't remember it, but they're brothers.
Yeah. I like him better because he's...
For the UFC?
Yeah.
He goes crazy. Yeah.
In this corner.
And he'll
yell... Fighting.
And he'll yell their name. Yeah. And they get all pumped up, man. It's crazy.
Conor McGregor. Yeah, that's pretty wild. That was pretty good though, as a, you know, first impression. Get those pipes warmed up, you know.
Yeah.
For the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, my name's Sasso, by the way. Just if you forgot what I sound like.
You won't forget what this looks like though.
Yeah, this face. Don't look at the YouTube channel.
Sorry about that.
We'll pixelate it.
We're back.
Yes, we're back. Back for good, hopefully.
Yeah. So, man, you know, this is going to be our Easter episode, and so you know, for Taco Talk, I thought, you know, what why not talk about Easter traditions? Like, what do you guys do for Easter, man? You guys go out for a meal? Like, what do you do?
Well, it's funny because growing up, my grandfather used to make steaks, and my grandma would hide eggs. And they would have a plastic egg that had a silver dollar back when they had silver dollars as coins back in the day.
Okay,
and then everybody could get one.
Okay.
And you couldn't get like seven of them. And so you were allotted one. So once you found your one, you couldn't continue.
You were done.
And they'd put them in the clothesline, you know, the pipes and, you know, all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so my grandma would make, or my aunt would make potato salad, or my grandma. Mm. Really pretty bomb, you know. Kind of like Diane's. It reminds me of that. And he'd grill steaks. And then we just have a good time. And then I would be bummed out because we had to go to church. You know, I'm like, man, we got to church. Like, you just relax. You know, you want to enjoy the afternoon. I know I feel bad about that. But, and then my grandfather had a heart attack when I was 11, right around my birthday, Easter, kind of around the same time. And then the tradition stopped, you know, and we did it, but it just never was the same.
Yeah.
So I got like fond memories of Easter like that. And Rebecca does not. So she just told me this, like, year that she doesn't have really tradition
Easter memories.
Yeah, because at our old church we would have like a fried chicken dinner on the grounds that Rebecca and I would help you know, get things together, and it was a big shindig. You know, people would get baptized and on that day, and it was just a big Sunday. And we would have like a morning service sometimes, like a sunrise, and it was a big deal. And then she just said this year, like, it's not a big deal. And I'm like, so, I made lunch reservations for Heelstone. And 2 years ago, I took him to Houston's, the family. Maybe Nate was still here. So, but she said it's never been a big deal. So, and for me, it always was. Like, because my birthday's landed on Easter sometimes. I think during COVID, it was on Easter. And I got Illuminati, not the Illuminati, but I got a pizza like Saturday because it was closed on Sunday. Mm,
that's some good pizza, bro.
And so then she cooked it, she baked it for me, and then I got to watch like the documentary about Apollo or something.
Okay.
But yeah, Easter was just always a special time, you know, whether at church or in the family. And Rebecca's just like, it's we celebrate the Sunday, right? It's a resurrection. But it's not like... Special. And for us, it was family, right? It was a family time. And so, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of what I'm used to, steaks or potato salad or...
Wow.
Yeah.
Used to steak.
Yeah. Well, probably steak in those days are 88 cents a pound, you know, now.
That's true.
88 cents an ounce, maybe. You know, it's ridiculous. You know it is.
That's true. Very true.
These economic times. I'm not going to say the name of the economics, but you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I want to get political here, but you already know.
Yeah, growing up, we didn't have any like specific tradition, but I do remember my mom would always save, you know, eggs. She would hollow them out, you know, make the egg and leave the shell, and then she'd color the shell, bro. We'd color it through confetti inside, bro, and then we'd hide them, And we get them and we break them on people's heads. That was really? That was just what we did, man.
Sounds like a skill. How do you do that?
It was a skill, bro. I don't know how she did it. I mean, she would just like carve out the little top and then, you know, pour the egg out, you know, and I don't know how the little yolk made it out the hole, but it, I mean, the hole was smaller than the yolk.
And then she would just put.
And then it would hollow out. You'd rinse it out, you know, let them dry. And then you'd color them. They had some kind of food coloring type of thing.
Yeah.
Kind of, I don't know. I don't know what they were, what it was. And then, yeah. And then they would hide them. They'd put confetti, you know, inside and put some kind of sticker on top or something and then hide them. And yeah, we'd go to town. Bray, I still have pictures on my phone.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. And then my mom would do that with my kids even. There was a few Easters that we did that with my kids and it was pretty cool.
Groundbreaking news.
We never did steak or mashed potatoes or what was it? Potato salad.
Potato salad, no ham?
Although Diane does make a pretty bomb potato salad, and I hear that she's going to make one this coming
pretty
Sunday.
Excited about that.
I am too, bro.
A couple days, yeah. Yeah.
Brisket, ribs, potato salad.
Oh, you getting some ribs?
Yeah, we're going to get some ribs.
Did you invite Joel? I don't know if you...
I have not, but...
Oh, I thought you did. I thought it's on Sunday. I think you're inviting him to Sunday Bible study.
Sunday Bible study? Oh.
Last week, because last Friday night you were talking to him. And I was
yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, never mind. Yeah, he's talking to him about Sunday. Well, I mean, whatever. But yeah, that's, I mean, I'm looking forward to potato salad as well.
Oh,
does
yeah,
she
yeah.
put black olives in there? I don't remember.
She does not. No,
okay,
no.
Maybe that's my aunt.
And the other thing she doesn't
pretty
do
good.
Is a lot of people use, I think she uses mayo rather than mustard. But I don't know, it comes out really good.
I like mayo better. I've never tasted it with mustard.
I do too.
I don't like the celery per se, but I think it's traditional to make it with celery. Everybody makes it with
See,
celery.
And I don't like the pickles. She puts pickles.
I like the pickles.
I don't mind the celery. I'll tell her to separate them, and then we can just throw in our
own. Because it just gives it that flavor, you know?
Right, right.
And then it's tradition, right? So it's like I can deal with it because it's not. Yeah. And my sister probably would like the mustard and not. She doesn't like mayo. But she loves mustard.
Yeah, I love the mayo. I'm not a big mustard fan. I like mayo, though.
It's okay.
I like
mayo. Like a Whataburger, I mean, it's okay. I like it.
Yeah, I don't do...
I've gotten used to it.
Don't do mustard there. The only place I do mayo...
And no ketchup
burger,
either, bro.
B-dubs, bro. They put mayo. Because Whataburger, they don't put mayo, do they?
You got to ask for it. Because they'll say mayo instead of mustard, and I say both. I want both on there.
Gotcha.
At $14, I want everything on there that's part of the meal.
Whatever.
Even if I don't like it, put it on there.
Whatever you got back. What else you got in the fridge back there? Yeah, hey, put it on there. Put it on there.
Is it free?
Okay. Hit me again.
That's like Five Guys, right? You can build it any way you want.
Right, right.
I mean, and Five Guys gives you two patties. I didn't realize that. It's standard.
Five Guys is pretty pricey though, bro.
I went with a guy from work and he's like, I'll buy the fries. And I'm like, cool. But it was like $12 and I got a cup of water.
Just for the fries?
Just for the burger.
Oh, for the, yeah, I know, right?
The fries were like six something. I was like, wow. I mean, they gave you a lot, granted, but man.
Those are the rosemary fries? Is that correct?
I don't know.
Or am I thinking of another burger joint?
I don't know. They're rose gold. That's what they were. I mean, expensive. It's like $8 for a large. Like, dang. Wow, these some kind of potatoes over here.
Right, right, right.
But yeah, it was, I mean, they're fresh. It's good. And then they say tip. I'm like, tip for what? You know what I mean?
That gets me.
Don't charge me so much. Here's a tip for you.
Every time, bro. We went to Naked Barbecue. We went to a concert recently. And I think I sent you pictures of the Naked Barbecue. But man, it's like they asked for the tip. And I'm like, what have you done? You put the food right in front of me. I carried it to my seat. I got my own drink. And I busted my table. What? Because you gave me my food at the register? I don't know.
If we make eye contact, I give a dollar. You know what I mean? If they don't make eye contact, then I'm like, nothing. Yeah, and then if I'm in a bad mood, you know, I'm just like, I'm not tipping anybody mood, then, you know, no tip.
Typically what I do is I make sure that I have all my food gathered right in front of me, that I can keep an eye on it, and then I just don't tip. But if I have food still waiting in the back, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll tip a dollar.
And then sometimes I get a little heavy on the zero and I got to go back because I don't want to give a $100 tip, you know,
oh, wow.
For doing absolutely nothing. Wow. You know what I mean?
That's pretty generous.
I don't
bro.
Get it. Like, I don't understand.
No, I don't either.
Like, we went to the farmer's market at North Phoenix Baptist Church and we got pasta. It was really pretty good. And they were tip. I go, you got the order? And I don't understand. Like, there's no service. Like, that's, you have to give it to me because I paid for it. Like, there's no.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
I don't either. I mean, you go to anywhere else. I mean, not that I'm saying I go there often, but you go to McDonald's. They don't ask for a tip. I mean, they don't. Whataburger doesn't ask for a tip.
I'd give them a tip if they asked me. You know what I mean?
I think David would give them a tip. I think David got pretty sick with McDonald's. Man, poor dude.
I've not gone there since we went to Massachusetts in September.
I don't even remember.
My food was terrible, and I got fatter eating it, and it was a terrible combination.
You know, I'll do the breakfast there. I'm not big on anything else, but the breakfast is halfway decent. They have decent coffee, but other than that.
Yesterday when I wasn't stranded, but I was walking around the city of Scottsdale and Tempe, I thought about it, like going to McDonald's, like, nope, you know what? It's stupid too because it says Panera Bread's like a mile and a half away, which is not a big deal, right, when you're driving. But when you're walking, it's longer than I thought, further than I thought.
Yeah.
And then Panera didn't have any Wi-Fi, so I had to leave Panera and then go to find the library.
Really? Panera didn't have Wi-Fi?
No, the whole system was down.
Oh, wow.
You couldn't even log into the little kiosk pads to get your free drink.
Of all days, right?
I know. Of all days, I need to get on. And then, so I was there 20 minutes trying to figure it out, trying to hotspot my phone, and it wasn't working. So I drank another tea, and then I dipped out and went to the library.
Wow. Bummer.
And then, they had free Wi-Fi there. You
know? Yeah.
I didn't pay taxes in Scottsdale, but hey, thank you. Thank you, City of Scottsdale. And I worked like 3.5 hours over there.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right, man. Well, shall we get into...
Let's get into the content before my mother-in-law stops listening to the podcast. It puts me to sleep every time.
All right. Well, before we get into the content, just want to remind you guys, check out our website, abundantlife.fm, where you can find all of our show notes. We have recommendations for Arizona restaurants. And
sermons.
And we have sermons now.
Thank you, Ben.
I don't know that I've added any in the last few weeks, but...
who's counting?
I do have some lined up. I did recently hear another one that I really liked. It was, I believe it was by Jim Tillotson. And I think it was eight Reasons Why God Doesn't Hear Your Prayer or something like that. You remember that message that he preached when he came down for, I believe it was a missions conference?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. But it's a really good episode.
Like hindrances to prayer?
Hindrances to prayer is what it is. Yep. 8 hindrances to prayer. And so I think that might be the next one I post. So anyway, but visit us, abundantlife.fm. You will find lots of cool resources. And you can find us on social media as well. Hello, YouTube. And
Alan, hello.
We're going to go ahead and get into our content here. So being that it's Easter weekend, it's coming up. I wanted to do an episode along those lines, and so I entitled this episode, Why Did Jesus Have to Die? And our key verse is taken from Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, which says this, "For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man some would even dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so one of the most profound and mind-blowing concepts of Christianity is the death and resurrection of Christ. And as we arrive at Easter Sunday of 2024, just wanted to take a moment and talk about the death and resurrection of Christ, and also just kind of talk about God's love for us and kind of why did he have to die? I know many have asked that question. I know I've asked the question, why did Jesus have to die? And as a Christian, the obvious answer for us is, well, because he loved us, and there had to be a rescue mission for us because we were doomed for death. But why does God love me though? If you really think about it, I'm a filthy, dirty sinner. I'm unlovable. I don't deserve his love. I don't deserve to be loved by God. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Romans 3:10 through 12 says, "As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks after God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." And so, I mean, when you think about that, it's like, why would God want to save me? Why does he love me? So,
and here's the beauty of it all, right? Because he said, that while we were yet sinners, right, Christ died for us. So while we were not even worthy of redemption, right, that he sought us out, he died for us, he loved us. And in no earthly relationship works this way. I think we just talked about this many times on the podcast about all our relationships are dependent on our actions and what we do.
Right,
You could say there's no love like a mother's love, but I'm pretty sure you can probably do some things to ruin that too. You can mess that up.
Oh, yeah.
Where God, he knew everything about you, but yet still died for you. And we would not be married today if our wives would know things that we would do as husbands. She probably wouldn't sign up for that, right? She wouldn't sign up for misery for, you know, a couple of years before you got your the frontal lobes developed fully. You know, she's like, yeah, I'm not waiting for that. We'll wait till we get married, right? But she, you know, and then she kind of took a flyer and like, okay, I mean, I dedicate my life to you, earthly life. You know, for better or for worse, right? They throw in those conditions because they know there's going to come times of better or worse.
There's going to be a worse.
Health. Yeah, yeah.
There's going to be a worse.
There's going to be a worse, right? Yeah, and there's probably going to be a better as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And God said, took upon him the worst of us, knowing everything because he's God, and said, in spite of that, right, I'm going to love you. And that's what really baffles me about the love God has for me is, when I realized, and this was only like 3 or 4 years ago, that God loves me perfectly. Because I always thought in my mind, I read my Bible, I do good things, I go to church, you know, I don't swear, whatever. I do all these things that that pleases him, that I get more of his love. Because that's how it works for me in real life. You know? Well, not real life, but in this earthly life, right? Sinful life.
That's what we're conditioned to. This is how we're conditioned.
If you, you know, kiss people's rear end or whatever, right? You tend to... You can get your boss to like, you can manipulate people's love to a certain extent. Yeah. Or you can just be kind to people and they'll like you, right? For the most part, if you're just an agreeable human being. Mm-hmm. But if you're a jerk, typically you don't get that, you get the same treatment back, right? You get it reciprocated.
Oh, yeah.
But God loves you perfectly, whether you can't do nothing more for his love and you can't do anything against him.
To love you less,
because he can't love you more anything that's less than perfect, because he's a perfect God, and in that love, perfected love that he has for us was shown here in these verses that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. Like it had no bearing. Like, oh, I know he's gonna go to school and he has Awana's Christ for Boys and Girls, and he's gonna cover those stickers on his truck because he's ashamed of me, so I'm not gonna die for him, right? He said no. I know he's going to do that. I know he's going to be ashamed of me, and I'm still going to die for him. I know he's going to not always do right. I know he's not going to be a perfect father or husband or whatever, fill in the blanks, but yet I'm going to die for him because I love him perfectly.
Amen. And, you know, I know you've been working on the exchange with some folks, and, you know, you go through chapter 1 and chapter 2, God is holy, God is just. And those are some hard chapters because you realize... not just that you're a sinner, but that there's penalty for sin. There's a consequence for your sin. And so by the time you get to chapter 2, it's like, oh man, like, yeah. And I think it was Pastor Jeff that mentioned, hey, if you can get to chapter 3, that's like...
You're an honorary Christian already, pretty much. You know what I mean?
But chapter 3, I mean, that's the chapter God is love. And it's not a, you know, we talk about God is love, you know, and the love of God, and it's not some sort of sappy, romantic, sentimental feeling. God's love is sacrificial. I think the word in the Bible is, the word for love is agape, which means it's sacrificial. And just like you mentioned, it's unconditional. Unconditional love for us. Truly unconditional love for us. And I'm thankful that it's not conditional because it's not based on my good works or me earning it. Because if it was, it would pretty much be impossible because I would mess. I'd find a good way to mess that up real quick. And it's funny because I'm, you know, just thinking through that right now, in my FTL book, I'm in section 8 and I'm working on love. It's the last virtue. And, I was actually writing out some questions this morning.
That's a hard virtue.
Well, I was writing out some questions based on 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter. And I'm writing out like, it's asking questions like, hey, if you were to get past, you know, being self-centered, like how would that affect you and how would that affect your love for other people? And it's funny because as I'm writing these answers, I'm on chat online with someone from Citibank because I'm trying to add my credit card to my account, trying to link it. And they're not being helpful. And I'm writing in my book as I'm chatting with them. And as I'm chatting with them, like I'm starting to get a little irritated. And my answers are starting to get a little snippy. And I'm just like, I'm writing over here, though. But it's just, I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Stop it. But that's just it. I mean, our love is conditional. God's love is not. I mean.
Yeah, and that was pretty amazing that we were eating lunch with Jeff Musgrave, right? And I didn't really didn't want to eat with him and Pastor George. I thought we were going to have some, you know, we're going to kick it, whatever. And not so much Pastor George, but just, I don't know, Jeff Musgrave like that. I'm like, oh, this guy's going to be a killjoy. We have to be super spiritual, you know, at B-dubs. But it was funny because we sat in the same booth at, you know, I'll just say it, Scott. Scott and I had sat at. And it's funny because that week before, and I was meeting with him that night, but that week before, you know, Pastor, the first time we met Scott, like outside of church, you know, Pastor George asked him, if you were to die, where would you go? And he said, I don't know. And so right away we knew, okay, this guy is not safe, right? Because you know. Yeah. And so we said, okay, we do the exchange with him. And he did God is Holy. There's really no questions, right? And, you know, my friend Paul and I done that, and he got to God is Holy. That's all we've gotten to. And so, you know, nothing, no questions or, you know, rose out of that chapter one. And then chapter two, we were at the B-dubs, and he said, you know, and he brought it up. He said, if Pastor George asked me if I were to die, where would I go? And then he said, after reading that God is just, I'd go to hell. Mm. You know, and so that's where, like, and I was just, your mind wants to, like, okay, well, let me show you how you don't have to go to hell. And that's, I mean, I've told you this story, but, and he got up to go to the bathroom, and I prayed, like, man, what do I say? What do I do? And God just said, just wait, you know, just don't say nothing. Just take it easy. And so he came back, and then he said, one of the first things he said was, I'm so glad you're not pushing me to a decision. Because I need to take time to make sure this is what I want to do. Mm. Wow. And I'm like, wow, okay. And then the next week we met, and then he said, oh yeah, I have this big news for you. And I'm like, oh, cool, he got saved. And then he's like, then he told me something totally unrelated. And I'm like, and then 20 minutes later, he said, you know, if you were to ask me that question again, I'd say go to heaven. I said, well, why would you say that? And he's like, because if I'm trusting on the finished work of Jesus Christ. I'm like, that wasn't your big news. Like, are you kidding me? And there again, right, is another example that God committed his love toward us. And that while we're yet sinners, he died for us, amen, right? That we could continue to tell people the good news. And we talked a little bit tonight because we try to meet once a week. And the greatest thing, and just if we go to 2 Corinthians 5:21, and I heard John MacArthur explain this verse, and I was trying to talk to my cousin. He never heard of John MacArthur, and I'm like, dude, he's kind of a big deal. He's pretty big in the Christian faith.
Yeah.
But he explained this verse, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. And he's talking about how he explained it was that God sees us like he sees his perfect son. And on that day, he saw us, his son, take upon the sin of us, right? That he turned his back because he saw us in his son for the sacrifice. And then he saw, because of the righteousness of God in him, he saw us as his son righteous. And then he saw his son as unrighteous because he, and that's the great exchange.
That's the exchange, man.
And that's the epitome of the Bible study of the exchange, is that very concept that he made his son to be sin for us, who was perfect. Who was holy,
who knew no sin.
Who knew no sin, and he's still not a sinner, that we might be made righteous. So when God sees us, and like that, Scott made that decision, right? I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ. He sees Scott as his perfect, perfect lamb, right? That we're going to celebrate this Sunday, the perfect lamb of God. And this is probably one of the greatest verses, salvation verses to me in the Bible.
Amen.
That the great exchange that God made for us. Because we are sinners. Whew. You know, amen to that. So
we could end the podcast there if we wanted
to. Yeah, I know. Where's the organ, you know?
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Pastor Kevin Shaw. Are you or someone you know dealing with the agony of an addiction? You can't change what you do until you let God change who you are. Freedom at Last is a discipleship ministry of Northwest Valley Baptist Church in Glendale, Arizona, that applies the life-transforming principles of the gospel and Christian growth to the problems of life-dominating sins and addiction. All of this happens in an atmosphere of love and accountability. Please join us. For more information, please visit us online at getvictorytoday.com. That's getvictorytoday.com.
And we're back. And so We're talking about the love of God, and I just want to read through a couple of verses here. 1 John 4:8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's impossible for us to understand or even know what love is if if we don't understand the love of God, because he is love. He's the definition of love. 1 John 4:10 says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." See, he loved us first and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So it was God that loved us, not the other way around.
Well, how do you be a husband, right? That, I mean, God commanded husbands to love, wives to submit. If you don't know what love is, right? You're just going on your conception of maybe a Hallmark love or a love that feels good.
Lust.
But you don't know what love is. You can't love your kids. You can't love.
Yeah, you can't.
Because you're not.
It's impossible. You don't know what love is.
It's a warped
definition
of love outside of Jesus Christ.
It is. That's the worldly love, you know.
Which is not love, right?
Right.
Which we know.
It's more of a lust is really what it is. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And that's what we're commanded to do, right? As husbands, you know, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and Christ gave his life for the church. We're supposed to be this and have this kind of self-sacrificial love. That's the agape love.
That's a huge ask, right? Like to love your wife like you love the church.
It is. Like Christ loved the church, right? It's a tall order.
He died for it, right?
Yes.
And I mean, in USA, in the building, they have this verse. It's huge, like carved in marble, like with these two pillars, and it has that verse, greater love hath no man than this. And it's talking about the military, right? Like the brotherhood of dying for each other. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the love that he had,
Jesus,
the perfect love
for us.
Because a man cannot have love for another man in that regard. I mean, he could do it out of a sense of duty. He can do it out of a sense of obligation. He can even do it out of a sense of brotherhood. But he can't do it out of a love that God had for us. It's impossible because you don't understand the love he had for us. That was perfect. There was no... Because usually you serve together in the military, you build a bond, you build a brotherhood. But before you could even build a bond, like you said in the previous verse, we loved him because he first loved us. Mm-hmm. That love for us was already there.
Yeah.
Before we even knew who he was, he loved us, right? And in a military love, that's different because you spend time, you build a relationship. And the relationship for many of us, right, was one-sided for a long time. Until we were born again. I mean, you were born again later in life. And so that love was one-sided, right? And then me too, before I became a believer as a child. But it was a one-sided love, and he died for me regardless. Where there, you die because it's an obligation. It's your duty. You're trained to do that. And that's not the love that he has for us. So that verse is taken, and the military use that at funerals and different things, and it's taken out of context.
Absolutely.
That's not what it means.
Well, and it's funny, you mentioned, you know, before Christ, you know, we don't really know love. But the interesting thing is, I think we kind of do in a sense, because we love ourselves. We feed that flesh, and we certainly love ourselves. We know how to love ourselves.
We had somebody at FTL, right, that was trying to beat themselves up. But, you know, I don't know if I love myself. I got to forgive myself. And I told Scott tonight, I'm like, who are we to forgive ourselves, right? We're nobody. And you don't have to tell you to love yourself, right? I mean,
no, because
Yeah, like Terrell Owens would say, no, you know, I love me some me. You know, that's just what he said. And people are like, oh, how terrible. But that's really how we all are, right? He was just honest and admitted.
From the day we're born, bro. Yeah. I mean, you know, like, it's all about me.
There was a shirt that he used to sell, and it was, I love me some me, and Rekha wouldn't buy it for me. I wanted it really bad. She's like, no, I'm not buying that for you. We already know.
Well, it's interesting we talk about that. I think in our next episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about that, about how we love ourselves and just the selfishness that we have, but that's in a future episode. But
coming soon.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
Yes.
Ephesians 2:4-5. It says, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And this is what you were talking about. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, He loved us. And this is why I love it, because it's not a merited love. It's not a love that I can earn. It goes back to this unconditional love that he has for us. The thing that blows my mind, though, that I think about is really but why? Like, why does he love me? Like, why would he do this? Like, why would he? I mean, I know he loves me, and I know that's, you know, and I know it's an unconditional love, but why? Like, there's nothing innate in and of myself that's lovable. and or anybody for that matter, right?
But I think we go back to we're image bearers of God, right? We're the people that we most dislike. I have to remember that that is an image bearer of God as well, right? And yeah. I think that's why God puts a value on human life, because we are image bearers of God. Even the worst people in this world still resemble the image. We're made, you know, God made man in his image.
Right.
And
right.
so he loves his image in us.
Right.
Which is unbelievable. He would create mankind to be in his image. And I don't want to go too much into, you know, the other podcasts that we're going into in Philippians, but that's what he talks. He took upon flesh, right? He humbled himself to be us, right? And he were image bearers. And he, when he created Adam, he created him in his image, and we are the descendants of Adam. And that's the beautiful thing about, and so God takes seriously, we have abortion that's rampant, and it's murder.
It is.
If you killed a woman who's pregnant, they charge you with 2 counts of first degree murder.
That's right.
But then they wouldn't value it if it's a choice to do it. But I think that's why it's precious, because these are image bearers of God. Even in the, he even says, in the womb, I knew you.
That's my next verse.
You know what I mean? And that's where the love began, right? When he formed you.
Yes.
In the womb. And I mean, and this is hard for me, because there's people in my life that I don't particularly care for, right? And I'm sure I'm that person to other people.
Yeah.
And I got to remember that this is an image bearer of God, even with my boss, right? Who I don't always
see eye to eye.
Yeah. I don't see a lot of things, you know. I want to go eye for an eye, you know, not to see eye to eye. But yeah, because we're image bearers of God, that's what he sees in us, and that's why we're so valuable. Like he hates murder, he hates discord among the brethren, right, in the church. He doesn't like that. He said these are 6 things I do hate, and one of them is sowing discord, mm-hmm. because we're image bearers of God. And I mean, sometimes I like to sow discord, bro. I just got to be honest, you know, but he hates it. You know, it's not good, because we're all image bearers of God. And, you know, that's special. You know, that's a special part of us that he made, that he put inside each one of us, that we are resemblance of our Father. I don't know, you know, but yeah, it's very true. Why does he love us, and why would he become us, right? Why would he come from the thrones of glory to, as we celebrate, going to celebrate this, you know, coming Sunday, to die for us, right? To be us, just to die for us.
Yes. And it is difficult. It is difficult to love. And it's funny, because even among the brethren, right? You have people that are sandpaper to you. And obviously I'm sandpaper to somebody, and they just rub you the wrong way. And
hopefully I polish them up real good.
And it's hard. Like there's, you know, and even recently, I've had some talks with some friends, and there's just some things going on, you know, within some of the brothers in the church, and it's hurtful to see somebody hurt another brother. Like, it hurts me to see that, you know, and then it makes me irritated at that one brother, and you know, I've got to be careful I don't start building bitterness and all of that. But I think that's what it says: by this you'll know you are my disciples, by your love for one another, right? I mean, and it's hard, bro. Like there's some people that come to mind immediately right now. As we're speaking here, and it, I can think of these guys.
Let me close my eyes. Yep, they're there,
and they're hard to love, bro. Like they're seriously hard to love. Like, it's a hard thing, but it's not a choice. It's not an option. Is what I meant. It's a command, which makes it even all the harder. So
it's not optional.
So I've got to you know, eat some humble pie, you know, and I have to love my brothers.
And I think you go back to Romans 5:7, what you're talking about, right? And it says, I mean, in the King James, it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. So, I mean, it's not even for a good person, somebody's not going to die. But for us, it's unheard of. It's not even possible. But yet he, and that's when the freedom that lasts, right? We're building upon the pillars of the attributes of Jesus Christ, brotherly kindness,
all the way up to love,
all these things to love, because love is the ultimate test of really of our faith and of our commitment to what God's commanded us to do, right? But God commanded his love toward us, right? That will, you know, that verse, that's to me, that's the hardest thing to do. That's what they said, you know, ministry would be great if it weren't for people, because people make it hard to love at times, right? And I can imagine just you know, I was at camp when I was, I took some teens to camp when I was maybe 25, 26. And they talked about how when you're little, you step on your parents' toes. And then when you get to be a teenager, you step on their hearts. Mm. And that, woo, that hit me in the heart, right? Like, wow, I felt all these emotions come back of like the terrible teenager that I was.
Oh, man.
And you think about
Sorry, mom and dad, I apologize.
Of all the things you had done and all the things your parents still did for you, mm-hmm. you know, probably more so I think of my mom than my dad, right? Because your dad's, you know, sandpaper to you, tries to file you down, right? He's harder on you, I think.
Yeah.
And my mom was hard too, but not to the degree.
That's a different kind of love, right?
It's, exactly.
It's a motherly love.
A dad can't be a mom.
And, no.
Yeah, they're two different people.
They are.
And so, and then you think about, you know, and that's just, and I think as we talked about before, like the father's love for his children, as we show me the father, shows, it's supposed to be a picture of our heavenly father. And I think the unconditional love your parents have to you at times, not always, when you're a teenager and how rotten you are and how much you think you know and how cocky you are and arrogant and they still love you, right, is a picture of how God loves us, you know, in my opinion. And that's how he shows. I mean, not even close, but it is, you know, it should be symbolic of
it is
of that. Yeah.
And I think that's oftentimes what happens is, you know, if you grew up with a, let's just say an abusive father, I mean, that's, and you get saved later in life, I think you kind of have that blurred vision toward God and you view God as just this harsh man that
it's warped.
Yeah. It's very warped. But the reality is, he loves you, and it's an amazing love. The verse that you were talking about a few minutes ago is Jeremiah 1:5. It says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you." Like that blows my mind. Like it's a personal thing. He knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. But that's just an amazing thought that he knew me before I was formed in the womb. Like,
it's very intimate, right? It's a very intimate thing to know someone.
Yeah. And it just goes to even just speak to the abortion thing. Like, dude, that's a live person in there. That's a,
that God knows.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That's your, you exist before you're in the womb. Like, so I, but anyway, it's just, it's
more than a thought, right?
It is.
And it's when I hear the word new in that context of that verse, I feel like that's a relationship that he has with you before you're even viable to the world, right?
Right.
That he knew you. There's a relationship. And then we talk about this all the time. We're not getting into too much detail, but about relationships, right? And how people struggle with forming relationships. And they think they have a relationship, but they really don't.
Right.
But God, before we even started knowing who he is, or potentially even having any lobes at all in our brain, he knew us. And that's, to me, the beginning of a relationship with us. That's very intimate to me to know someone.
Well, and I think it's an important thing to know because, you know, I think sometimes we think of this, think of God as just having this, it's a distant love. This, you know, it's just, it's not, it's impersonal. But the problem with that is if we have that kind of thinking, I think it's easier for us to fall into sin because we just don't feel that we don't understand that concept of that personal love. And it's a personal, it's an intimate love. It's like you said, it's not a distant love. It's just this personal love. He knows you. And I think if you know that and understand that and grasp the concept that it's not just something that you say. I know we say Jesus loves you or whatever. He really,
Jeff Gracious.
He really does. Yeah. Well, and I think he truly means it. Like he truly means it. Like he does. He means it when he says it. But I think people just think of this distant love, but it's not. It's just one-on-one, this personal. I love Sasso. I love Jeff. I love Ben. Like it's just this.
Insert your
name.
I
love you. Yeah. And it's an amazing thought. But anyway, we're going to take one more break and, we will wrap up when we come back.
Are you looking to apply God's truth in a practical way to your everyday life? Stay in the Fight is a weekday devotional written by Sasso Mendez. This short 3-minute read looks at a verse of scripture and applies it to life in a very real and transparent way. Sasso's blog style writing is humorous, relatable, and a great way to align your thoughts with God's word. Visit stayinthefight.online and subscribe to get notified by email when it releases each weekday. Stay in the Fight is a great way to keep God in your focus, and it's easy to share with others. That's stayinthefight.online.
And we're back. And so, Sasso, I think you've got a...
Yeah, and you, I mean, you talked about knowing him, right? And I think to know someone is to take interest in their lives, right? To know what they like, to know what they don't like, to know whatever their, you know, favorite sports team. And I mean, I guess I have two stories. Our boss was saying, you got to talk to your employees and you got to, the first 5 minutes, you got to, you know, be invested in their lives and you got to put these notes in the, because we have weekly coachings. And as he was saying that to me, I can go back to when I meet with him one-on-one and how fake it is. And he just made it like real for me that he's giving me his game plan that I already knew, right? And it's not a matter of like, hey, the first 5 minutes, it's about you. What's going on in your life? That's an organic process of knowing how many kids your people have, whatever. You just get to know them on a personal level.
Right.
I don't need to spend 5 minutes. It's a daily thing, not every 2 weeks or once a week.
Yeah.
2 minutes of your day, me pretend I care.
Right.
They know, just like I know from him, he doesn't care. He's checking a box of saying 5 minutes with me. And I remember we had a teen banquet, Valentine's Day banquet, and your date was your mom or your dad. And they would write these stories. And I wrote a devotional about this. They would write these stories, and then you had to identify who wrote it, like whose mom or whose dad wrote this story about their kid. And my dad traveled a lot, and my sister is 6 years older than I, so it was my mom and I. My mom would pick me up from soccer practice and, you know, spend a lot of time with me. And she would like, you know, I was trying to lose weight for, you know, my coaches were making me run after so I can fit in these little shorts, but we won't go into that too much. And she's like, you know, I wasn't eating healthier per se, but maybe trying to eat less and trying to get in shape. And I remember one day she's like, let's go to Pete's. You want to go to Pete's, right? Like she wanted to go there and trying to talk me into going. And I'm like, you don't have to talk me into going there. I'm there. Like, let's go, you know? And she wrote this story and she used to like hot tea. So I'd make her hot tea and I'm trying not going to go into tears here. And she wrote these things that I knew, like I recognized right away. That's my mom, right? And she said, I know my son loves me because he takes the time to know me, right? Mm-hmm. And even as, I mean, I was like, what, 13? And I remember that 34 years later, wow. That's exactly what she said. And that stuck to me in my mind to say, wow, I didn't realize that meant something. I was just trying to be, you know, it's just my mom and I was trying to be considerate that I know she likes hot tea. I'll put some hot tea on. But that meant something to her because she felt like, wow, my son knows me, right? And I go back to this verse, Psalms 139:14. It says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well, that God formed me, right? Even the you know, even Scott will say, women don't come up to you. And I'm like, no woman has ever come up to me. God did not form me that way, right? He gave me a sense of humor, maybe to help, you know, with other things, but he didn't make me like handsome like you. That's just not the skills he gave me. But you think of the things that you do for the church, right? And I know you're more than, you know, what, you know, IT or whatever that, you know, they would implore you to do things at the church. But God gave you those special skill sets for the body of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, you teach in Freedom of the Last, you run and you have your own group. And these things, that the talents that God's given you beyond the IT things, right, that he made you for this purpose, right? Mm-hmm. He had a plan for your life when you were in the womb, when he Amen. Knew you.
Amen.
He knew you intimately and created you intimately. All of the good things, the bad things, he created, like, for his honor and glory. Even some people that, you know, you have a temper, well, I mean, he can form that to use it for good, for his honor and glory. Mm-hmm. If we will submit to him and say, okay, I'm not going to use that for bad. I'm going to use that passion to carry out your will. And I just think of all the things in my life that he has shaped me from Awanas and just memorizing verses and how you lead a group and then you're counseling people just organically in a group setting. And the verses that he brings to you that you use, and you're like, wow, where in the world did that come from? And it's because when you were 10 years old, you memorized that verse and he brings it to mind and you're just like, wow, like to do a podcast, right? Like,
yeah.
God knew that from beginning, you know, when you were dumb in the shower and I would record myself and, you know, do these fake commercials that my sister makes fun of me.
I used to do stuff like that. That's so funny, man.
And then how God put those dreams And he said, I'm going to make you, and we're going to, you know, I know one day you're going to do Abundant Life podcast. It's going to go into not even United States, right? But other countries in the world, yeah. And how he used, how he fearfully goes, because he knows us, he loves us, amen. And shows us that every day.
Hey, man, you know, it's one of the things when I pray in the morning, I thank God for that. And I also pray for it too. It's a prayer, but I always just thank God that, you know, he uses me, and I pray that, you know, I can just be a tool in the hand of the master, and that he would use me for his honor and glory. And I love that. And I'm very blessed and thankful to have those opportunities and to be used. I mean, I think there's a lot of Christians that are just nominal, and they're, you know, and complacent and don't do a lot. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, cause I'm not anything special. But it feels good to be used by the Lord. I know, like when you're doing exchange, I mean, I'm sure you feel blessed,
amen.
You know, or, you know, when I'm discipling Joel, I feel blessed. Like there's some times where I think I walk away more blessed than him probably, but I don't know. But it's just, I'm just thankful for that.
And I mean, I was talking to an employee, not to cut you off, but she was talking to an employee, and, like 3 months ago, she wasn't where she is today. And she's doing a lot better. And it's funny because she said, I remember the things you told me and I didn't want them to be right. But I did them, and, you know, they've helped me become a better adjuster. Yeah. She said, the problem is that now I help everybody and nobody helps me. And I want, why can't I just be helped? And I told her, I said, okay, would you rather be able to give $100 or would you rather be in a position to need $100? And she said, well, if you put it that way, I'd rather be able to be in a position to give $100, right? And that's how I feel like I'm operating, right? I've been shown God's love throughout my whole life, really. I mean, I've lived a full life, in my opinion. If I die tomorrow, I feel like, wow, God's given me a lot of life in 47 years, a lot of blessings, a lot of opportunities. And so I'm only trying to reciprocate, you know, what he's given me. And I've even heard a preacher say, all that I am, all that I hope to be, all that I will ever be is because of Jesus Christ, because of God, right? Yeah. We don't have no talents of ourselves, right? It's all God given and God used and God ordained and God opportunities. And like, I didn't go looking for Scott. Pastor George volunteered me to go give him the exchange, right? I didn't say, hey, I want to do the exchange with Scott. I'm like, well, I guess I'll do the exchange with him, right? Not knowing what a blessing. And you, and just like we're talking about, we're working out of an abundance of God's love towards us that we, I mean, it would be terrible if we didn't push his love out to others, right? And that's what it is. That's what it's all about, is being a disciple maker, like our church motto, making disciples. Is because we were just so filled with his love that we just can't help but share with the world and with other people.
Amen. Amen. And so I want to wrap this up. I want to just talk quickly about God's love and how there's nothing or no one that can separate us from God's love. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And then skip down to verse 38. Says, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so when you trust the Lord for your salvation, and you, and it's a trust in what he did for you, this is what we're celebrating this Easter, his resurrection, his death and resurrection. And when you trust in his good work, in his work, what he did for you on the cross, then you have this love. You have eternal life, and that's what it's speaking to here. There's nothing that can separate you from this love that God has for you, and I love that. I want to wrap up with I want to quote from a song that I like. It's a band called Sidewalk Prophets, and the song is called "You Love Me Anyway." And there's a, at the end of the song, I don't know why, but it brings me to tears sometimes when I hear it. But I just want to quote the end of the song here. And it goes like this. It says, but you love me anyway. It's like nothing in life that I've ever known. Yes, you love me anyway. Oh, Lord, how you love me. I am the thorn in your crown, but you love me anyway. I am the sweat from your brow, but you love me anyway. I am the nail in your wrist, but you love me anyway. I am Judas's kiss, but you love me anyway. See, now I am the man who yelled out from the crowd for your blood to be spilled on this earth-shaking ground. Yes, then I turned away with a smile on my face, with this sin in my heart, tried to bury your grace. And then alone in the night, I still call out for you. So ashamed of my life, my life, my life. But you love me anyway. Oh God, how you love me. Yes, you love me anyway. It's like nothing in life that I've ever known. Yes, you love me anyway. Oh Lord, how you love me. And it's just, it's a song that just gets me every time because that's what it was. That was a great exchange. But I was that to him. I put those nails in his hands. I was that thorn on his, I was the spear in the side. I was that, you know, that person that yelled out in the crowd for him to shed his blood and to you know, trade Barabbas for him. I mean, that was me because of my sin and what I have done, but he loved me anyway.
Amen.
It's a beautiful thing. Well, thank you guys for listening to this episode, and we look forward to seeing you guys in the next episode. Be sure to check out our website, abundantlife.fm, and check us out on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and we'll see you in the next episode.
And I will say, Ben, it is finished. Loud he cried. Amen. We'll celebrate this Easter Sunday.
Yes, he is risen. He is risen indeed.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. Please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.